The views on this episode of the Came to Believe Recovery podcast do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Recovery Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this episode should not be taken as medical, psychological, or professional advice, and are those of the hosts, co-hosts, and guests. KHLT and Take 12 Recovery Radio are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Well, greetings, my friends. I am the Monty Man from Take 12 Recovery Radio, and this is the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. And now, here are your podcasting broadcasters, Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez, to introduce this week's show.
Hello, welcome to the Came to Believe Recovery podcast. I am Alicia on the West Coast. We have Tom at a remote location on the East Coast. And our producer, Monty Mann, is from the West Coast in Oregon.
Am I though? Maybe I'm on another
planet. Or maybe he's remote also, but that'd be hard to get that background you have somewhere else.
Yes, it would be. I'm in Nome, on the Nome planet.
Yes. Every time I see a gnome now, I think of you. I'm sure everybody is like that once they meet you.
It's true, but here's my wife's complaint. She goes, all your friends buy me gnomes. Why do they buy them for me? And I'm like, I don't know.
That's funny. You'll have to ask her. Yeah. Well, what do you want me to tell them to buy you? A gnome.
Yeah, but they can buy me gnomes. I mean, you know, I've got like 220 of them or something like that now.
Yikes. All right, Tom. Well, where are you? Can you tell us?
Well, I told him it's not a secret. I'm just not telling him where I am.
Oh, it's a secret.
It's funny before, but she's not funny anymore. No, I'm in Cary, North Carolina right now. I'm down here on some... errands. I'm going to be meeting with a church organization that does recovery, and we're going to talk to them about Came to Believe, and I hope to go to a rescue mission here in Durham and talk to them about bringing Came to them. They have 388 beds, and we may speak to some potential financial partners while I'm here. So I have a bunch of appointments here and work going on, and so that's what I'm doing right here in. And I love it here, North Carolina, actually.
It's nice.
Very beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Never
I flew down
there
today, this morning, and, you know, some great things going on this week, guys, within Came to Believe, as you guys know behind the scenes, that we'll be announcing here in the next coming weeks, that Came to Believe is really getting some great opportunities to expand what we do and bring our mission to other people. So it's really, really exciting. Little nerve-wracking, but not so much. This is what I was built for, and I'm loving to be able to just go get to do the deal in a very big way. So very grateful this week.
Nice. Yeah.
And
nice.
This week, we're going to be talking about everybody should do the steps, right?
Everyone.
The steps are for everybody.
Everyone. Yes. In fact, Tom, it's interesting because... Take 12 Radio previous show, when I had Donna Marston from Sharing Without Shame on, Roger McDermott co-hosted that with me, and he quoted Mother Teresa, and she mm-hmm. stood before the United Nations and said, if everybody in the world would do the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, we would all live in peace and harmony.
Oh, that's amazing. I did not know that.
Yeah,
she did that.
Yeah. And I agree.
Yes. But Tom and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday, and there's so many angles that we can go to. I'm so excited because we were thinking, like, everyone, non-addicts should do 12 steps. Everyone that are going to the rooms need to do the steps.
Yeah.
And then us as recovered need to stay in the steps. So it's kind of goes all these different directions, and and we'll probably run out of time before we hit them all. But yeah, so everyone hits everyone in a different way. So which one should we start with?
Well, I want to start with the obvious people who want to do the steps are those that are in AA.
Yes.
Those that are in a 12-step program.
And I'm laughing because it's like, what are you doing in a 12-step program if you're not willing to do the 12 steps? I just don't get it.
I mean, it's a fact, guys. People and all of you that are listening, and whether you agree with us or not, I don't know whether it's an agree or not. We know that the fellowship has moved so far away from its primary purpose of people getting through the steps and having that spiritual awakening and then working 10, 11, and 12, so far away from it. And we know that because we run into people they're so shocked when they hear us talk. You know, why didn't anybody ever tell us this? So the obvious group that we think ought to do the steps are those that are already in a program. They've walked into the door of this place called Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous, which all have the exact same 12 steps, by the way, guys. Mm-hmm. When you read their literature, mm-hmm. they just have one word that's changed, exact same 12 steps. And yet it's not the focus. It's just infuriating to me. I mean, it's not so much infuriating as baffling that the thing that 12 steps programs have, this is just shouldn't be shocking to everybody, is 12 steps. And so if you don't do them, why would you ever expect for them to work? So a struggle and recovering and recovery and needing to go to meetings and all this angst and all that was never the result of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? The result was a spiritual awakening. The result was a set of promises in 9 and 10. The result was a new life, a revolutionary way of living, as they talk about in this. And why is not the focus is still baffling to me. And that's part of our mission, guys. And you guys are all on board with this. And that's why we're on this podcast. We want everybody in the world to hear us and say, if you've never heard this before, ask somebody why we're not doing the steps in your meeting. Find a meeting that does the steps. Call us. Come to Came to Believe Recovery. Come to a weekend retreat and do the steps like the founders did. And let's get on with this thing. Why don't you try it? You know, it's playing baseball, sitting in the parking lot. You're never going to win the game if you're sitting in the parking lot. Mm. But if you come into the baseball stadium and pick up the bat and follow the rules, you have a good time. And you'll find out that you're really successful. So our first, you know, desire in the world, and I think, is that the 12-step recovery programs actually do what the solution that's been presented to them is and actually walk the steps.
Which is, okay, you said so many things and now I have to backtrack. But there's, my head was going, okay, so people like me, who I went into those rooms in 94, I was not going to ask somebody to help me. So nobody's going to help me if I don't ask. Right. And then I think, too, that for somehow there needs to be sponsors and people looking for those people. But then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's sponsors or people that are recovered or on this side. It's their responsibility to ask us and they're not going to ask us. So how do we get that fixed, remedied? That's the dilemma, I think. No, I mean, one of the many.
Well, I mean, that is the purpose of the fellowship. It is the purpose that after they started to have meetings, it was the place where people could come to meet somebody like us and take them through the steps. I think our place is in meetings. I think our place is within the fellowship. Clarence Snyder did not want us out of the fellowship or out of AA. He wanted us in the fellowship. And it's our greatest hunting ground, but we go in with this attitude of recovery. We go in with this attitude of solution oriented, and we go in quickly with advising people to grab somebody and get on with the steps as soon as they're ready. So we got to be in there, Alicia, as much as we sometimes don't like it. I don't know how you feel, Monty, but the rooms of AA, especially in New York City, which is where I am much of the time, and New Jersey, it can be very frustrating for people like us with the pushback, and it can be so easy for us who don't struggle to not go. And I'm calling myself out.
Oh, hello.
Just to not show up.
Right? We have meetings out here with like 50 to 80 people, and I'm not going because I need to go. I really need to step my feet in those meetings. But there, yeah, there is a lot of pushback, and yeah, but go ahead. So, I interrupted you, I think.
So, Tom, you asked what I thought on that. You know, I'll never forget. I'd been going to meetings for years, and I went to my sponsor and I said, you know, I'm just not getting fed here. And he just laughed. He had this big old belly laugh that he would do right before he was ready to, you know, chew your butt. And I knew, oh man, what just came out of my mouth, I'm headed for it now. And after he got done laughing, he looked at me, he said, what makes you think that your reason for being here is to be fed? You've been coming here for how long? You've been sober for how long? And you've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Your job is to come here to be a maximum service to God and the people that are in these rooms. Mm-hmm. Your job is to come here and listen mm-hmm. to see where you can be of service. Your job is to make the approach. And I was mm-hmm. like, wow. And you know what? And then he gave me a big old hug. And he was right. We don't make the approach anymore. It's what Alicia was saying. You know, we used to go to treatment centers and make the approach. We used to go to jails. They called it hospitals and institutions. We used to go and make the approach as a fellowship. We used to go as sponsors and make the individual approach. We don't do it anymore. It's amazing if you can even get a door greeter. You know, remember door greeters that would welcome people, you know?
No.
You know, and so I think you're right. I think we've lost that because as generations go by that are not taught properly, they start to lose all these basics to the foundation of the fellowship. And pretty soon they're so far separated from us that we don't even think that they ever existed, like door greeters. Like Alicia said, I don't remember door greeters. So yeah, we need to get back. You know, not to jump on a coined phrase here, but we need to get back to basics and make the approach. It's hard when you go to a meeting and they go, "Anybody here volunteer to be a sponsor?" And you're the only hand going up.
Yeah, I've been in those.
You know,
meetings.
And you're like, "I'm going to get 12 sponsees tonight. I can't do that."
Yeah.
So the rooms are overflowing with people that are alcoholics, that are addicts, people that are drug abusers but not addicts, people that are there simply because they've got some control issues of one form or another, but they're not alcoholics, and people that legitimately are. And we don't know who's who until we sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody and really get down to business.
Yeah, what you just said, that was another issue with the whole thing, is not only are newbies going, I'm not going to ask anybody, then
right.
There's us that are in the rooms, or people that aren't raising their hands because they have too many sponsees, or they don't want to take the responsibility, or they don't feel ready. I hear a lot of my sponsees, I'm not ready to sponsor, I'm not ready. So it's like there's so many things that are going against people doing the steps. But then I guess, I mean, like the book says, if people want it, they're going to find somebody and they're going to keep going and they're going to speak up. I would imagine. I know one girl, I met one girl like that, Alvina, but yeah, how are we going to get more people to do the steps?
But you know what, Alicia, if we wait for people to show that they want it before we make the approach, we're going to lose most of them.
That's true. That's totally true. But then what about, I've heard people say suggestion. It's just a suggestion. And I feel like if we make the approach, is that going against their suggestion clause?
Well, I don't think so. I think once a person commits to work with me, when I'm working with somebody and I make the approach and, you know, and they show an interest to work with me, I count the cost with them. And it's pretty simple. You know, mm-hmm. don't lie to me. It can't help you if you lie to me. You know, I don't say you got to call me every day and wash my car. You know,
no.
That's just abusive. But I tell them what my job is, and what my job isn't. I'm not your counselor. I'm not your taxi. I'm not your bank. You know, my job is to take you through these steps and introduce you to a power greater than yourself to help you solve your problem. That's my job. Are you interested in that? Because you tell me that this is going on in your life, I may have a solution for you. Are you interested? And if they say they are, now we've crossed that veil, right? We've crossed into, are you willing to go to any length realm, which they really don't know what that means until later. It's a suggested program. It's not a program of suggestions. There's a big difference. And when I tell my potential sponsees that, when you say, listen, you need to understand that some of the language you're hearing, you're going to learn that it's incorrect because we're people and we're not perfect. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying we're people. So it's not a program of suggestions. It's a suggested program in its entirety from A to Z. And so we're going to do all of it. I'm going to present all of it to you. And what you do with that isn't on me. It's on you. But if you will do that, you will succeed. I promise you that if you will apply and implement these spiritual disciplines, you'll never drink again. Ever.
Mm-hmm. So I agree, Monty. And Alicia, I think what you're alluding to is chasing people down, which is not what we do.
Right.
But yeah. Making the approach and offering a solution that we have when someone comes presenting a problem, they don't know the question to ask. And so we can ask. We can make the approach and do just like what Monty said. Listen, I might have a solution for you. It sounds like you're in a place that I totally understand, and I might have a solution for you. I think that is a responsibility of us. We do need to do that. I mean, they did that back then. That's what they did. They reached out and they made the approach. But they didn't chase him down. I mean, Bill and Clarence and a few of them tried chasing him down. And they found that didn't work very well by going under bridges. They were just so excited. I mean, through no fault of their own, really. They just wanted, like us, we want everybody to hear about this. But we do have to make the approach. And from Came to Believe Recovery standpoint, you know, we started this new meeting, Monty. We started a virtual meeting, a Zoom meeting now. It's a Came to Believe that's going to be a weekly meeting. We said we need to make the approach. And to make the approach is to open up a meeting where people can come and we can tell them. And then I'm going to open up a meeting in New York City, also an on-ground meeting.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. Can we post the ID and passcode for that meeting? It starts April 3rd, true?
We certainly can.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Wednesday.
The Zoom meeting, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, I'll put it up on the screen right now. Right. When we in post-production, so listeners, so you'll have it. I plan on attending that myself. So, yeah, good deal.
And we have Came to Believe Recovery Leaders, and guys, it'll be a solution-oriented meeting. We'd love to meet anyone there. We want to talk about how people are doing their 10, 11, and 12. We want to see newcomers come in, and we want to tell them how it is for us now and offer them the same solution and give them that path and give them an opportunity to come to the awakening that we've had and come to the freedom that we've had. And that's what we want to do. And we think the virtual puts us on a big platform. So we want to hit in multiple ways. We're going to do the virtual and we're going to do in person, like we are doing in other places in the country. But this is one of the things that we're not prolific at as going to retreats. You know, we do the retreats, but we haven't been as good at putting on the meetings. But we're going to start. We can always take the pivot.
This is a Zoom. This is Zoom, right?
It's a Zoom. Yes.
Okay.
So this, you know, that's we could have spent, and we already did spend, you know, almost half this podcast on who should do the steps, just the people in the rooms. And we haven't even been able to get really to that. The steps really are designed for living for everybody. and that Al-Anon people and drug addicts and people that just have other kinds of issues that aren't drugs, some substance abuse, and just want to live a life of joy and happiness and freedom and success in all areas of their life and feel peace, would benefit greatly from a process like this, from a set of tools that we give that really are just a set of tools that were found in the Bible, right? In the New Testament of the Bible. We don't want to be too cryptic about it because we're not cryptic. It's where these guys found the answers back in the 1930s. They found them in the Bible and these principles. And they were not being spread to just alcoholics back then. They were being spread to everybody. Those guys grabbed a hold of them, but it stands true today, guys, that those principles that underlie the steps were originally principles for everybody.
Yeah.
And we forget that, or are not as focused on spreading that out. Oh, we are. We are pretty focused on it here, I came to believe. But it's very important to say today, it's a big deal to say this isn't just something for alcoholics who are special in some way. It is a solution for us. And we are driven to need these set of tools because of a brokenness that we find ourselves so beaten that we look. And I almost wish that the regular world would get themselves beaten to a place where they knew they needed this as they struggle through life, guys. We live with people. I live and work and walk with people that are what we quote unquote normies, who just would so benefit from a program, from working these steps in the issues in their life. The whole thing that we wish, but the steps were for everybody. They absolutely can be for everybody. They're everybody in the rooms and they're everybody in the world. And then the other thing that Alicia and I talk about, and I don't know, Monty, how you feel about this or what your experience is, but these principles that came from the Bible, these principles that were the cardinal teachings of Jesus Christ, really the life of joy, peace, and happiness, are not being taught in the churches either that well in many cases. Mm-hmm. So I don't get in trouble. So that's the other place, I think, where these steps would be greatly beneficial if they were embraced by many churches.
Mm. So let me ask you a question, Tom and Alicia. Speaking of people in the church, what about these? And I know some. What about church leadership that says when they're presented with the steps, that says, well, we believe all you need is Jesus. You don't need 12 steps. You just need one step. That's what one guy who's a friend of mine, who I have a lot of respect for in most areas, he's a pastor. He said, nah, they don't need 12 steps. They just need one step. What do you say to them? How do you approach that? Or have you run into people like that?
I have totally. Alicia, you want to go or did you?
Go ahead. And then I'm going to find something in the big book that I hope can find, but go ahead.
All right. So I say, well, that's all good that you say that all they need is Jesus, but do you teach them to do what Jesus said to do? Because Jesus said, take me. He said, believe in me and then do as I say. And what the steps do is align the process and the practice of doing what he said. Are you doing that in your church? If you're doing that, good for you. And your people are probably getting freed. Did they know how to look at, to evaluate themselves every night? Did they know how to look? He said to do that, you know.
Yeah.
He said to grow in his conscious contact. Jesus said to do that proactively. He said to help others.
Yep.
He said to stay in community. He said to constantly turn over. Those things entrust me. Just what the steps say. Are you teaching that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, good. If you're not.
Yeah, I think when you say
so
Jesus is
answer, Monty.
Jesus is all I need, there's a whole category of things under all.
Right, right,
right. So, and if you don't like if you don't like 1 through 12, just take the numbers away, man. But read the stupid things.
Just take
you know?
The numbers away. Just take the numbers away. So that's my answer to them, and it usually is.
That's good.
Met, if it's done tactfully, it's not met with. defensiveness. They say, well, yeah, you're right. You know, because see, Monty, many of that comes from the their misperception of AA or correct perception of what AA is today, that it's not about Jesus.
And right.
It's about, so they stop right there and say, but it's about Jesus. Well, we say it is too, don't we? We say it is about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him being the power greater than ourselves that will restore us to sanity. He's going to be our new manager. He's going to take our defects of character away. And then he's going to strengthen us through his Holy Spirit to continue to grow and walk out the rest of the process.
Amen.
We just go a little further with it, right?
Yeah. Okay, I found it. Hold on.
Okay.
Working with others, page 93. This says, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish, constructive action. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. So doesn't that touch on, like, they know Jesus, yeah. They yeah. love Jesus, but they're not giving their porn addiction to him, and they're not doing this, and they're not getting rid of their resentments, even though they're being preached to every weekend. And the steps just logically take them hand by hand, step by step, to do what the Bible says. So you could believe in Jesus and go to church. So what?
Yes, it's the
there's more addicts in my church than
oh,
in
man.
The meetings.
It's the parable of the it's the parable of the sower. It's that one guy who's got one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. And he's going yeah. back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, that was me. And I couldn't figure yeah. out why I kept going back to this other thing, you know, that was killing me because I hated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to hear what I just said and think like I'm perfect and I go to church and I'm doing the 12 steps, because I'm not. I'm at least doing the steps and I'm looking at my stuff and I'm saying it out loud and I'm going to meetings and I'm just afraid that people are in church thinking, well, I love Jesus, but they're not looking at their stuff and they're not saying their resentments out loud to someone else and they're stuck. And
they're
I think if they come
to.
Together,
instructed.
It would be yeah. perfect if we could mm-hmm. bring them together.
Well, we're taught in many modern churches today tools on how to make ourselves feel good instead yeah. of how to actually grow in relationship with God. We're taught that in the program, too. Let's talk about things that make us feel good. Let's have dances and barbecues and campouts. And those things are all great. You know, but heaven forbid we open the big book up and actually delve into it instead of, well, if we do, we have a step study and we read a paragraph and then we talk about our day.
Are we bashing today?
I don't know. It's a serious problem, though. You know, it's a cancer and it's got to be addressed. But so like Tom's saying, but we're the ones who got to do it because there's a whole mm-hmm. basket of people that just aren't gonna.
Yeah, but there's only three of us.
Well,
there's more.
You know, that, yeah, that's, but that doesn't matter, Alicia. I do hear you. But, you know, I'm in more and more as doors are opening for us to be on a bigger and bigger stage. And there are people in higher and higher level places with more influence in the Christian world and in the recovery world and in just the world that are going to give us the stage in the audience and they're going to give us the places to be able to talk this. Transformation is going to happen. I mean, we've had some major breakthroughs that came to Believe Recovery in the ability to expand our movement. And all we want to do is help people. That's really all we want to do. And one of the big advances is Monty. Coming on board and saying, listen, I'm going to help you with this. And I'm going to put my resources behind you guys with this podcast. It's a blessing. It's a door that's open and we jump right through it. And now it's this natural partnership. I mean,
yeah,
it's the way this is. I mean, when we met, it was like we've known each other for,
I know.
Forever.
I feel like this is our 40th podcast, not our third or fourth.
And when we met in person, we were just you know, we just, it was like we were, you know, we sent him to that best hamburger place in Portland. And
yeah.
Never been there before.
Yeah.
And so we do have to do it. And what we're going to do is get on these stages like this, which is a big audience, Alicia. Yes, it's the three of us. But we're on a stage now that can be heard by anybody, really, right, in the world. Anybody that has the internet could hear us. So we got to keep it up and keep spreading the good news and the hope that the program has to offer, and hope to everybody, guys. And that's what we want you to hear today. This steps, this process, this stuff is a hope for everybody. Anybody with any kind of issues, especially addicts, it seems to work really well because of the openness that an addict has because of their brokenness. They grasp a hold of this better than many.
Mm.
But we encourage everyone to grasp all of this, no matter what stage they are in your life. And we promise you a better life. We promise you peace.
Yeah.
And it's not us. It's our, it's the manager that promised them. Oh, that was...
What about the people then that are already through the steps and they're not in the steps, or they're addiction switching, my favorite word.
They're but now do we have a whole show addicted. On that? Don't we have an addiction probably, switching show?
Probably, but this fits in here. We can touch on it. Like if we're addiction switching, then we're not really looking at step 10, are we? Or 11? So I think everyone, even if we say we're recovered, needs to say, well, am I walking the walk? And am I doing the steps? Am I ignoring signals that, and do I have a sponsor that can speak into me and call me on my crap?
Well, we're supposed to be growing and understanding ineffectiveness. That's what step 10 says, right? A total growing and understanding effectiveness. And step 11 says, improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the will for us and the power to carry that out.
Yep.
So it should be everything in our life. It doesn't say anything about alcohol or drugs at that point.
Right.
At that point, it's talking about growing. And this is a missing factor, guys, in this that we have. It's the magic sauce of the program. It's the magic sauce of the power is it you get relieved of the obsession, and then the gift is everything else gets better. Only if you do it though, Alicia, that's your right. It's they're not doing their step 10 and 11. Right. If they truly were, it would, you'd be praying and believing in everything in your life. If they're told grow in understanding and effectiveness, not grow in understanding how to manage triggers and when to not go to a bar and should I go to a wedding or not? And these are the silly conversations
right.
that you hear.
Well, that's
meetings,
in the beginning,
right?
In the beginning for sure. Yeah, but now it's like
some people with 10 or 20 years sobriety are still
really
wondering those kind of.
Oh
things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wow.
I can have this kind of liquor in my house, but you know, I just can't have that 10 years sobriety. And you're like, really?
Are they like, I can't go to my cousin's wedding cause they drink a lot. You know, how long you been sober? 40 years. And you can't go to your cousin's wedding? You can't go pay your respects and then leave? You can't do that? So that tells me you have not had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Or if you have, you have ignored the fact that every deliverance requires continued growth. Every deliverance requires it. And if you ignore that, it's like anything. You use it or you lose it, baby.
Yeah.
So you were Alicia, you were talking about some people that have been around for a long time. And I think one of the challenges for people is they get stagnant or they get tired of the same old thing. So you've got to make an effort to mix it up. You know, one of the things that I noticed that was very helpful for me after I'd been in the rooms for about 10 years and things were like, these people are the same. We got in a van and we started going to other meetings. We didn't care. Well, you don't want to go to that one. Well, I haven't been there, so I'm not going to say that. So let's go. Let's go. And some of them were a little wackadoodle, but they were fun and we had a good time. And sometimes we go on long road trips. Sometimes we just go across town. But we go mix it up. And then guess what? When there was a convention, we already knew these people. Mm-hmm. We go, hey, Fred. Hey, Dan. You know, oh, yeah, I remember you from the Salem meeting that we went to. Yeah, I never forgot what you said. It was total BS. Yeah, but, I mean, what's it talk about in the big book? It talks about, you know, we have this fellowship that grows up around us. But it's not going to do it by itself. And I think that's what happens is, at least for me, when I started to get little dry bones there and get kind of stagnant, I had to make the approach in my own life and kind of mix things up. Maybe it's time to volunteer to be be on the ad hoc committee for the dance that I haven't done in years and years and years. Well, I did it years ago. I'm too old. No, you're not. Do something different. Go to a CR meeting, for heaven's sake. Somebody needs to go in there and tell those people how to do it, right?
There you go.
Go show up there. You know?
Well, that touches on our recovery life, but how are your relationships? How's your marriage? How's your health? Mm. Are you overweight and diabetic? Or, I mean, that's
yes.
part of it. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about that? And am I growing in my relationship? Is there fruit? Is it, you know, how are my relationships with my kids? And I think it has to be everything.
Yeah, work, and career, and what am I doing?
That's part of the 12th step that we forget. The three of us have no problem with carrying the message, but what about the practicing the principles and all our affairs part? Oops.
Well, that's
what you're saying.
That I think a lot of us, everyone in the program, we're not doing the steps. That's part of the steps.
I have to tell you, I'm just very distracted, Alicia, and you and I should be a little bit resentful about this because we were in that studio and we didn't see a Take 12 hat or a Take 12 shirt like that. And we don't have them.
I'm distracted by his...
We don't have that.
No, I'm distracted by his clock. Yeah. He didn't change his clock yet.
Right.
It's 4:19, not 3:15 right now.
Well, it's bash. Well, Monty, we're finding all this stuff wrong with you today. But I've been watching that hat and shirt, and all this show I've been saying, how come I bought one of those? I think he has King to Believe stuff. Who bought it for you?
I have an orange King to Believe shirt that just got out of the washer. Sure. Well, I can come up with these. I have to order stinking minimum order people. I have to order like a minimum of 12 of anything. And I just got the shirts, you know, and of course I got 12 my size, right?
And I just got the red hat.
Ooh.
But no, I can make that happen. I can make it happen.
We'll talk offline because we have a merch person that works for Came to Believe that's very very much for our mission and has given us some great terms as far as getting over that minimum thing.
Oh, really?
And
I might want to talk to them.
So, yeah, I can help with that. I think we can, for good causes. They've been. You know, like we ordered a whole bunch of stuff, but didn't pay for it all. And they housed it for us and agreed as we sell it, they charge us.
Oh, that's cool.
But they were able to order it in quantity so that we could get the discounts. You know, it was
it's
certainly a service.
These are embroidered because then you don't have paint falling off. You know, I have no objection. To like I told the people that did this, they're great folks, but they don't give you any breaks. I said, look at put your company name on the sleeve, man.
Yeah.
Give me a discount here. And they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't. Well, they need the steps too.
They do. Okay, so that brings us
back
retailers. Retailers need to do the 12 steps.
Retailers need to do it. Well, that's great. What's our show next week, Alicia? What are we on next week? I always have to ask
somebody. It's going to be what the book, big book says and what it doesn't say.
Mm.
I am going to love this one. Because so much time I go back and go, the book doesn't say that. It actually doesn't. And then I go, well, the book says this. And there's so much confusion. I'm going to love that one. Please, guys, tune into that one.
Do you think that a lot of that is because people listen to what somebody said as gospel and they don't check it out for themselves, and then they pass it on, and then they pass it on, and people, well, my sponsor wouldn't lie to me. Well, the sponsor got it from a sponsor that didn't know what he was saying, or he misunderstood or whatever. And now you have this tradition of something being said, like you can create God out of your own understanding, for instance. That's the big one, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say that. You know, they go, well, yeah, it does. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't. And then you open it up and you show them, and they go, oh.
So I heard Russell Brand talk today on about the 12 steps. It was something I saw. I was on the airplane, and he said, the 12 steps are great. They're this and that. And he goes, you just admit you have a problem. That's what he said. And then number two is came to believe that you can handle your problem. That's what number two is. You come to believe
what?
Something that can handle your problem. This is what he said. Then the third step is you ask for help for your problem from somebody. It could be spiritual. It could be from people. But that's the third step. You handle. I wanted to jump through the screen and say, here's.
That's the problem.
What I would say, I would stop him and say, stop, Russell. You can't make the steps what they weren't. They weren't. If you want to do that, you can do that. But that is not what the steps were. They were something. And that's the problem, guys, is this idea that people decide to interpret them a bunch of different ways and have created this thing that they're not. You have a choice to do them or not to do them.
Just don't call it AA.
They did them a certain way.
Yeah.
They did them a certain way, and it was God. It wasn't people. It wasn't anything. And you're right, the conception thing, we clear that up quickly. I say conception, yeah, only if all these conditions exist, and it's a start, and it's going to bring you to Him, H-I-M, the God they understood.
Yeah.
That's how it went. And it's just so frustrating to me when a guy like Russell Brand, who has an audience,
yes,
gets up and says that, and a million people think, it's the easier, softer way, guys. It's the easier, softer way. And we know what that is. There is no easier, softer way. That's why we have to have a voice as strong as he does. And I'd love to get him in a room and say, dude, just say something else. Call it the Russell Brand program. But
and please don't use at least a quarter of the profanity that you use. I've heard him speak I couldn't get through it.
Isn't he a Christian or claiming to be a Christian now, though?
I hadn't heard that, but it's possible.
I think he is.
Well, he wouldn't say what he said if he was. I mean.
Well, yeah, but if he's growing up in the Elevation Worship Bethel Church thing, and sorry everybody, I know I'm going to get an email, but if he's growing up in this modern, you know, put gold dust in your. What do you call it? Air filtration systems, and try to use smoke and mirrors to get people to accept God. If he's doing that, if he's in that kind of setting, he probably is convinced he's a Christian. I'm not just saying him, anybody. Mm-hmm. Probably because, again, you're being taught wrong. And you only know what you're being taught.
There's only one truth. The truth.
Yeah, right? There's not different versions of the truth.
No, it's the truth.
Right, and believe it or not.
Oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble.
All right, well, yeah, email Monty, not us.
Monty.
Monty, man.
Take12radio@comcast.net. I can take it. I've got stacks of hate mail. It's okay.
Do check out cametobelieverecovery.org for a retreat, our weekly meeting that starts next week on Wednesdays, 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Is that Zoom weekly meeting that we have, and any other retreats that are coming up?
Alicia's Monty, Alicia's Mindset Minutes, and my 2 minutes with Tom. There's a lot of stuff out there, guys.
on Instagram. And
so we can't finish up yet because we didn't take our break, and I got to do that.
So think of
something that you can say right after the break, and then we'll have our closing songs. Don't go away, everybody. While you're listening to this, you can type me an email and tell me that I've lost my mind. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Oh, hey, bud.
Oh.
Where are you headed?
I'm just gonna hang out.
It's a school night. With Gary and Todd?
Yeah.
Not sure about those two. I've been meaning to ask you. This is tougher than I thought. Is there any drinking going on in this crowd?
No.
I hope not, because alcohol can lead you to say things and do things that you really wish you hadn't. Isn't this what you're supposed to say?
I know.
So if any of your buddies ever pressure you to take a drink, just tell them you promised your dad you wouldn't. I'd do anything to keep you safe.
Okay, I will.
I hope this is working.
I promise. Love you too, Dad.
They really do hear you.
Brian.
Yeah?
So start the conversation even before they're teenagers.
Good idea.
For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. A message from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
Hey, this is the Monty Man. Now I know you're already listening to our brand new Came to Believe Recovery podcast. But did you know there is so much more to Came to Believe Recovery? Now I'd like to invite you to experience their website right after this show and get to know the incredible work that you can be a part of as well as we work together to break through to the hope that comes through what the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous refer to as the spirit of the universe. So, write this down. CameToBelieveRecovery.org. You got it? That's CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Now, back to our show. All right. Welcome back. You have tuned in to the Came to Believe Recovery podcast with Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez. And when we left off, I was apologizing for my slam that I did. Be patient with me, listeners. On my other shows, I'm introduced as the overly opinionated 12-stepologist. And nothing could be closer to the truth. I am overly opinionated. It's gotten me into trouble, but, you know, I don't know
what
to say.
You could do whatever you want.
You don't want to? Okay. anyway, so how do you guys want to wrap this thing up?
Everybody needs to do the steps. If you're listening and you have not done the steps, you need to do the steps. Everybody needs to do the steps. If you've already done them, are you staying in 10, 11, and 12? And what can you improve on? Because we can all improve in something.
Hmm.
Health, relationships, starting a meeting, doing a meeting, go to church, something. Grow from where you are. Tom, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to dovetail right on that, Alicia. I totally agree. And read the promises in step 9, I say, if you've done the steps. Read them and ask yourself a question. Is this coming true in my life at any level? You're supposed to be getting these promises. Read step 10. Is this define your life? And if you've done the steps and it doesn't define your life, you should think twice. Why isn't it? And we would invite you to come. We're not the only people in the world doing this, but find somebody who knows how the program was done. Find somebody who knows how to have you follow the process so you are receiving those promises in step 9 and step 10 and all the promises. We are one of the places that you can find it. Look for a Came to Believe Recovery meeting or a retreat. And we'll take you through the steps just the way they did it and give you access to that. But that doesn't matter who you are. I would actually extend that to anybody in the world. Go buy yourself an Alcoholics Anonymous book and read about a life you could have. And it doesn't say anything about alcohol or drugs. One little comment, I think, in step 10. But mostly it just talks about a great life that this process gave. And if that sounds good to you, maybe you could try it too. We do believe the steps would benefit anyone, anywhere, anytime, and we would encourage that you take advantage of that thing that's available to us all.
Yes.
Well said. Very well said. All right. Our closing song is by Michael Purrington and the Messengers. This guy is really one of the first recovery recording artists to ever record a record years ago. Just an incredible talent. His song that we're going to hear here is called Ready to Surrender.
Calling 911. Yes, this is an emergency. Can someone send a sober alcoholic to me? There's gotta be a recovering drunk in this neighborhood. Gotta get to it while the getting's good. Cause I'm ready to surrender. I've had enough, that's it. Bring along a big book and a spiritual toolkit. When I forget I'm an alcoholic, you can help me remember. I'm ready to surrender. I was falling down and blacking out, not chucking Thunderbird. Praying by the porcelain to hear God's word. They shut off the heat and water, and my rent is overdue. I got no one left to turn to but you. And I'm ready to surrender. I've had enough, that's it. Bring along a big book and a spiritual toolkit. When I forget I'm an alcoholic, you can help me remember. I'm ready to surrender. More than willing to go to any length to see the light. You can take me on a 12-step call in the middle of the night. Save me from my exes and the judges and the cops. This time I'll really stay stopped. Cause I'm ready to surrender. I've had enough, that's it. Bring along a big book and a spiritual toolkit. When I forget I'm an alcoholic, you can help me remember. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to surrender. Surrender. I surrender.
Ready to surrender. That's Michael Purrington and the Messengers. You know, I wonder, if we were truly honest with ourselves, is there something in our lives that we are not willing to surrender? I mean, something that we know is not benefiting our physical, mental, or spiritual health. And yet, we hold tightly to the very thing we wish we could let go of. Well, there's good news. It's found in the solution of the 12-step process of recovery. When applied and implemented properly, anyone can experience a state of recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Came to Believe Recovery strives to create and promote opportunities for life-changing spiritual experiences for individuals and families suffering from all forms of addiction. For more information, help, and support, visit cametobelieverecovery.org. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your host on this episode of the Came to Believe Recovery podcast. And I would encourage you to like, bookmark, and subscribe to this show. When you do, you will join the Take 12 Recovery Radio family and will be notified of all of our recovery-focused shows throughout the week. Until our next broadcast, when we provide the essential spiritual tools needed to thrive by sharing our experience, our strength, and our hope through our stories of how we came to believe.
This has been a production of Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Kitty, kitty, kitty. Meow.
Woof, woof.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.